and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, All Truth, All the Time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Dr. Paul Esposito here, host of WGOD Radio, a pastor of Island Community Church, radio station manager here of WMIE and WWBC. I am grateful to you. I'm grateful to God that you have tuned in here today, because you've tuned in to hear a word from God today, and I pray you won't be disappointed here today. So I just want to say greetings, happy Monday to you, and I indeed am grateful that you've tuned in here today to God's frequency to hear a word from him. And that word is going to come today out of the book of Galatians chapter 3. Right off the bat, verse 1, he says, "Who has bewitched you?" The word baskaino means to cast an evil eye. He is shocked at these people, that they were going so well in the faith, they were so strong. And then as soon as he leaves town, as soon as the man of God leaves, this reminds me of Moses. As soon as he goes up on the mountain, what do? That's the same with Paul. As soon as he leaves town, what do? He leaves town, people start trashing him behind his back. And people start introducing another gospel. And that was the problem there. Because we know the solution is faith plus nothing equals salvation. I should say the equation is faith plus nothing equals salvation. That's where we're at here today. This will just play one day here today. We're in Galatians chapter 3 today. Who has bewitched you? We are in Galatians chapter 3. We are knee-deep in an outstanding study in the book of Galatians, are we not? Man, oh man, as Paul sore at these guys. No greeting, but some praise of his Lord and Savior for one verse, and then he goes at them both barrels. I mean, I marvel at you, he says. Then Paul gives us some wonderful sound teaching on the Christian faith, and what it means to be saved. Or better yet, how to be saved. That's chapter 2, verse 16. Knowing a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus, so that we might be justified by faith in Christ, and not by works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified. Now, Paul showed us there's only one way to be saved. There's only one way to be certain of your salvation, and that is faith in the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Our theme in Galatians, faith plus nothing equals salvation. You can't add anything to or change that equation. And now in chapter 3, he's at them again. Chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "Oh, foolish Galatians." He calls them fools. He calls anyone and everyone who attempts to add anything to what Jesus Christ did on the cross in order to be right with God, he calls anyone and everyone fools, unwise, not smart. Again, wow, is he mad at these guys. Here's all of verse 1. "Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified?" Now, bewitch is not Samantha Stevens twinkling her nose. Bewitched is better understood as casting a spell on someone. Hence the word witch. Baskaino is the Greek word. To cast a spell on you. That's about the size of it. If you start following another gospel after having known the one true gospel, then somebody indeed has cast a spell on you. Someone has spoken your name over a bubbling cauldron, trying to deceive you into falling away from the faith. Is that too severe for you? Well, maybe you're right. I'm certain the devil cares too much about you to let that happen to you. Not. Understand, there is a battle going on to shipwreck your faith. Haven't you ever met a Christian that's fallen away? How many tens or hundreds have you met? It's a huge list of Christians I know that have fallen away. There is a battle going on to shipwreck your faith. By number one, by deceiving you. To think that something is something. And number two, by making you lukewarm. Which, of course, makes you useless to God. He says, I want to vomit you out of my mouth when you're lukewarm. When you're lukewarm, you're useless to God. Which, of course, once the smoke clears, you have been shipwrecked. Your faith has been shipwrecked. When you're lukewarm, you're useless to God. The same temperature as your surroundings. When you give like the world gives. Speaking of which, I am willing to bet each and every one of you in this church, and those of you that hear this on the radio this week or the podcast today, that you have someone who you think is a friend who chants about you over a bubbling cauldron. Let me say that again. Each and every person in this church, I'm willing to bet you, has someone that you think is a friend of yours that chants your name over a cauldron. I'm not sure about the cauldron part. They do it to take you out. There's people suffering in this church today that I believe is having this happen to them right now. It's to take you out. For me personally, it must be seniors. Or people in another time zone. Because it happens to me before 11 o'clock at night. I fall asleep at 9 and before 11 o'clock hits, I've been crowned over the head with a sledgehammer by hissing demons. Must be some early to bedders. But I know for a fact God has shown me that this happens to me. That people get together in secret and pray bad things over my soul. And I'm sure it happens to you too. You don't want the proverbial John Hagee. I'm sure you can't get a used demon to chase you. It happens to you. There's people out there bewitching you as well. To take you out. Why were they bewitched? Again, the rest of the verse. Who has bewitched you so that you should not obey the truth? And that is the truth of the gospel. And ultimately, salvation, as verse 2 is going to point out. Haven't you ever woken up in the middle of the night and you've been undergoing a terrible, horrific battle with the enemy? More often than not, people are to blame for that. People that know you. People that know you. Verse 2. Okay. This only fall on grace. Thank you. This only do I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by... the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? This is great. It's an accounting term. He divides it up exactly like that. The works of the law. These are some of the works of the law. Maybe you think that these things ought to be over here in this column. Baptism, that's good. He commands me to be baptized. It doesn't save you. Keeping rules is good. Circumcision, you were cast out in the Old Testament without it. Good deeds. Isn't that what your mother told you, or grandmother, or other people that you know? Son, you just be a good person and follow the Ten Commandments and you'll make it to heaven. What's good deeds and sins doing in the same column? To God, it's all the same, you see? For all of our righteousnesses are like filthy rage. Supposed to rags. It's all the same thing to God. You filthy. All of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in his sight. This only do I want to learn from you. Now, I put that up there. I've had that in my head for years because he's talking accounting here. As we're going to see that, as we move on. This only do I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of flesh? He says, this is the only thing I want to learn from you. I quote this verse to Christians who believe that some sort of works is what saved them. Many people, like the Church of Christ, believes you have to be baptized to be saved. I know many Church of Christ pastors and leaders, or actually they don't call themselves pastors, but they believe baptism saves you. Paul said, I thank God I've baptized any one of you. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. This only do I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by, number one, the works of the law, or number two, the hearing of faith? There's no option three. Paul wrote in Romans 10:17 that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Peter said to him, capital H, that's Jesus, all the prophets bear witness that whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all those that heard the word. Blessed are those that have ears to hear. There's only one way to have eternal life. That's by believing and receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. No works can justify you. No works can save you. No works can get you closer to God. You don't get closer to God by how much money you put in the offering plate. Like I said last week, if you want to get closer to God, then open up your Bible and spend more time in the Word, and you'll get closer to God. But adding something to what Jesus did on the cross to try to get closer to God won't get you closer to God. Rather, it'll inspire the Apostle Paul to ask you, who cast the spell on you? Thou fool. Called him a fool. He didn't talk to anyone else in the New Testament, even Corinth. He didn't talk to anyone like he talked to these guys. All the great songs we sung about salvation and the cross, the old rugged cross. Can you imagine that? The old rugged cross is not enough. I'm going to add my 2 cents to what Jesus did. Thou fool. Back to the text and the great teaching here. This only do I want to learn from you. Colon. You know, I love colons in the Bible. Here comes Paul's list. This only do I want to learn from you. Colon. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun or having set out in the Spirit? Are you now being made perfect by the flesh? That is, are you being right with God by the things that you're doing? Meaning this, he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ, right? Questions, who saved you? Who set your feet upon the rock? Who redeemed you from hellfire? Who is it who's working you both to will and to do for his good pleasure? So now let me ask, what are you planning to do to get closer to God? Go to church on Saturday? Pay to send unbelieving Jews back to the promised land like they ask you on television? Not eat a particular food? Or worse of all, keep the law to get closer to God? This was the problem in Galatia, in the Galatian churches. And it's a growing problem here in the United States as well, of trying to do good works to get right or closer to God. Now, verse 4, he's not done questioning them yet. He says, have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? That is, suffering on account of the name of Jesus. Because the name and the faith bring suffering with it, right? Returning to the law to try to get right with God would be suffering in vain. It would make it all for naught. That is, all that you endured because of the name, you're going to throw it all away and get right with God now by the works that you do. Verse 5, Paul brings the power and working of God into the mix. Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law? Here it is again, he's comparing. As he does throughout all of his letters. He who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? What inspires God to act on your behalf? Your good works or your faith? Does God move on your behalf based on the kind of week that you've had? I used to think it was. I used to think it was all on account of my good works. That is, I would think maybe God would send lots of people here to church this week if I had a good week and didn't fall short. Or maybe God will answer some other particular prayer based on my performance on a particular day or week. But I'm here to tell you today that you are a child of God and he does good things to you because you are his child. Not by the type of week that you've had. It's not based on your perfection. It's based on you being adopted son of God, child of God. You see, somebody else had a really bad week in your place. More on that in a minute. And now, speaking of faith, check this out. Paul is now going to show how Old Testament saints were saved. Verse 6. It says, just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. So what does this mean? Well, we have to understand what he meant by accounted. Some translations say credited. The Greek word translated as accounted or reckoned is an old Greek accounting term. The word is logizo, where the word log comes from. Captain's log, stardate, a log. It's a book you put entries in. Notice the words count and credit. Like the old days, you've heard me use the example before, when an accountant had an old-fashioned adding machine with a handle on it. And the accountant would then pull down firm on the handle, and he would make an entry into either your credit column or your debit column. And that entry for Abraham, as I showed you up here before, was what? Faith. He put faith in his credit column. Abraham believed God, and his faith was pulls down on that handle. His faith was credited to him. God put faith in Abraham's credit column, and that's what saved him. And everyone in the Old Testament. Abraham's faith was put in his credit column. Same as verse 2 has both sides of the ledger seat. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? And when you have faith in your credit column, you have eternal life. You have the peace that passes all understanding. You have been justified by the judge. And you have wisely settled out of court. Faith in your credit column supersedes all the sins and everything else in your debit column, no matter what you have done. We saw this example in this picture up here. No matter how many things you have in your debit column, all the bad things you've ever done, there's only one thing that can obliterate them and will, and that's faith on the other side. Faith. Faith in Jesus Christ obliterates everything. Abraham believed God, and his faith was credited to him, accounted to him as righteousness. Salvation and justification is promised and guaranteed when God deposits faith in your credit column like Abraham. Abraham was saved the same way you and I are, which is why he says here in verse 6 the words just as. It says just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations will be blessed. Verse 9, so then. All right, Paul's like a good lawyer. He's proved it now. Now he's summing up. So then, those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. The point Paul is making here is that circumcision is not what saved Abraham. His faith saved him and justified him. Verse 10, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. Look at that. The curse. For it is written, notice the next three words. These are all those that try to keep the law to be right with God. For it is written, cursed is, what's the next word? Say it louder. Everyone. Everyone. Cursed is everyone who does not continue in all the things that are written in this book of the law to do them. Cursed. You know what? I'll get to that. He's saying here, everyone who still follows the Old Testament law to be right with God is under the curse. Now, with that in mind, I leave you today with this letter I want to read to you. And then a verse. Now, I've researched this to prove that this letter is true. It's not fake. This is a letter someone wrote to Dr. Laura. It goes like this. Thank you for doing so much to educate people regarding God's law. I have learned a great deal from your show, and I try to share that knowledge with as many people as I can. When someone tries to defend the homosexual lifestyle, for example, I simply remind them of Leviticus 18:22. Clearly states it's an abomination. End of debate. But I do need some advice from you, however, regarding some of the other specific laws and how to follow them. When I burn a bull on the altar as a sacrifice, I know it creates a pleasing odor for the Lord, Leviticus 1:9. The problem is my neighbors. They claim the odor is not pleasing to them. Should I smite them? I would like to sell my daughter into slavery as sanctioned in Exodus 21:7. In this day and age, what do you think would be a fair price for her? Catch the smugness. I know I am allowed no contact with a woman while she's in her period of menstrual uncleanliness, Leviticus 15:19. The problem is, how do I tell? I've tried asking, but most women take offense. Leviticus 25:44 says, I may indeed possess slaves, both male and female, provided they are purchased from neighboring nations. A friend of mine claims this only applies to Mexicans and not Canadians. So can you clarify, why can I not own any Canadians? I have a neighbor who insists on working on the Sabbath. Exodus 35:2 clearly states he should be put to death. Am I morally obligated to kill him myself? A friend of mine feels eating shellfish. A friend of mine feels that even though eating shellfish is an abomination, Leviticus 11:10, it is a lesser abomination than homosexuality. I don't agree. Can you please settle this? Leviticus 21:20 states that I may not approach the altar of God if I have a defect in my sight. I have to admit I wear glasses. Does my vision have to be 20/20 to approach God, or is there any wiggle room there?
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio. And on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
You're the resurrection that we've waited for. You buried the night and came with the morning. You're the King of heaven, the praise is yours. The longer the quiet, the louder the chorus soars. Song, let hallelujahs flow like a river. We're coming back to life, reaching toward the light. Your love is like springtime. You're the living water, God, we thirst for you. The dry and the barren will flower and bloom. You're the sun that's shining, you restore my soul. The deeper you call us, oh, the deeper we'll go. We will sing a new song today.